Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Colder. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today. This is Sexualization of the World, number 7. Now, think about this for a minute. Let's go back to the very basics. God gave all of his commandments for a blessing. They're not a curse. First commandment, you're in touch with the true God, not false gods and Satan the devil. Second commandment, you don't have any idols. You don't have, which then when you have idols, there are Satan and demons behind them. And the third commandment is you don't take God's name in vain, because you obey what God wants. And the fourth commandment is a major one, which everyone forgets. But the very first word in the fourth commandment is, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And that is a key. That is a key for understanding the Bible. And it's reckoned from Friday night sundown to Saturday night sundown in the way that the week is laid out today. That's the holy Sabbath of God. Now, there's an advantage to keeping that, because God will put his presence right there with you while you study his word and live by his commandments and understand what you need to do. Then the next one is honor father and mother. That's for keeping the family together instead of having it like it is today. And then the next one is, you shall not murder. And look at what we have today, because people have left God. Murder everywhere. Violence everywhere. You can't even go out of your house. Go to the store. Some of those things you might risk your life in doing so. Okay? Then the next one is, no adultery. That means no sex outside of marriage. And then no stealing. And no false witnessing, and no coveting, that is lusting and taking of other people's things and properties. Now, let's come back to this study by Unwin that we started in the last segment. So let's see what he found concerning sexual morality versus sexual immorality as it affects nations and empire. All right? And as we go through this, let's keep in mind what we covered, what the Apostle Paul said. Let's just review number one. Number one, effect of sexual constraints, increased sexual constraints, either prenuptial, postnuptial, always led to a flourishing culture. Conversely, increased sexual freedom always led to a collapse of a culture 3 generations later. Now then, for America, that first generation was 1969. Now up to today, we're into the middle of the third generation, led to the collapse of that culture. Is our culture collapsing now? Think about that. Number two, single most influential factor. Surprisingly, the data revealed that the single most important correlation with the flourishing of a culture was whether prenuptial chastity was required or not. It had a very significant effect either way. Number three, highest flourishing culture, the most powerful combination was prenuptial chastity combined with absolute monogamy. That means absolutely married to one wife, one husband, and you stayed that way, like it says in the ceremony, until what? Death do we part. Rationalist cultures that retained this combination, that means rationalists, that is, those who think in terms of right thinking, and all of God's way is in terms of right thinking. Rationalist cultures that retain this combination for at least three generations, exceeding all other cultures in every area, including literature, art, science, furniture, architecture, engineering, agriculture. Only 3 out of 86 cultures studied ever attained this level. Now think about that. Down through the history of mankind, only 3. Now, number 4, effect of abandoning prenuptial chastity, which is what they teach in the schools. That's where it all started, making the daughters whores, which then God says fills the land with wickedness. When strict prenuptial chastity was no longer the norm, absolute monogamy, deism, and rational thinking also disappeared within 3 generations. Don't we have all of that taking place today? Is there any rationality in the things that are going on? Look at what is taking place. All of these and what he is describing are all the penalties that are coming upon this nation because of going against the laws and commandments of God. So if any out there think that this is really haranguing too much on that, then think about this for a minute. God could take your life in just a whiff of a snap of a finger and you're gone.
I might be the person stepping into something historic, but it really was the folk of the Sierra Pacific Synod who had faith in me. They did the historic thing. They voted, and I'm just so grateful they had faith in God and faith in what we're up to and faith in me to be their leader.
And Reverend, your journey to become bishop has not been an easy one. You grew up in South Dakota. You talk about how you experienced religious abuse firsthand, and yet you say it was that experience that actually brought you closer to God.
Absolutely. Being able to rise through the depths of maybe what other people think about you or what I think about myself, it reminds me of that one of my favorite hymns, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. And sometimes, you know, it takes folk wondering if God truly loves you to be able to articulate why God certainly is next to my side and next to the side of everyone out there who's yearning and hoping that God can be with them and is inspired by Jesus's message.
And all of those who think they can make their own laws and make their own ways and live their own lives and be successful, it will never work. That's why we have the Word of God and the laws of God today in so many languages, and the people have no excuse. Because if you have a Bible and you haven't read it, you are the one at fault, not God. Number 5, total sexual freedom. If total sexual freedom was embraced by a culture, that culture collapsed within 3 generations to the lowest state of flourishing, which Unwin describes as inert or at a dead level of conception, and is characterized by people who have little interest in much else other than their own wants and their own needs in everything, beginning with sex. At this level, the culture is usually conquered or taken over by another culture with greater social energy. Where are we on that scale right now? Think about it. Look at some of the states that we have. And how did we get to where we are? And add in all of the drugs. Add in all of the immigrants. All of the immigrants were not here because of Joe Biden. He was only a tool in the hands of God as correction against us for the sin of abortion, since we killed 62 million. And that blood is still hanging over this nation and will not be removed until there is an absolute outlawing of abortion. And that won't happen until women and men don't desire any abortion. Because when you have abortion, in your mind is a thing that you need to keep. You constitute yourself an intentional murderer in your heart. That's how God looks at it. So here we are, the nation ready to collapse. And isn't that what you hear in the news? Boy, the nation's declining. How can we turn it around? Well, the only way you can turn it around is come to God God's way. You can't do it by human devices, having more laws, having greater enforcement. Haven't we already had all of that? And did that work? No, that didn't work. Because the basic thing is that Christianity today, Orthodox Christianity, Protestantism, Catholicism, and throw in Judaism as well, have rejected God. And so therefore, it won't work out going back to those things. Now, number six, time lag. If there is a change in sexual constraints, either increased or decreased constraints, the full effect of that change is not realized until the third generation. Now, there's many more things that he has in his report, so we'll put it online so you can see it. Now let's come back here to Deuteronomy 18. Let's see what God says. And I want you to think about this nation. I want you to think about where you're living. I want you to think about how many people that you know or don't know or just those that you see are living in sin against God and they don't know it. They're walking around as if they have blinders on their eyes and they don't know why they're here, where they're going, what they need to do. Deuteronomy 18, let's begin in verse 9. Now remember, Unwin talked about the demise of nations. What happened to the nations that God took down to give to the children of Israel when they came into the land? Why did he take them down? Because of the very things that we are covering here now, they were doing. Verse 9, when you come into the land which the Lord your God gives you, and God gave us this land here in America, and we say we trust in God, but don't. We say we believe in God, but don't. We say we're a righteous people, but we're not. We say we're one of the most powerful nations in the world, but we've abused it, and God is taking us down because of it. He says, you shall not learn to do according to the abomination of those nations. The things that we're going to describe here, God calls abomination. Now, what is an abomination? That is the worst kind of sin. Let's read it. Verse 10. There shall not be found among you anyone who makes his son or his daughter pass through the fire. What is pass through the fire? That means offered to Moloch as a sacrifice. Now think about that today. Here we are. Archaeology is busy digging up the whole Mayan civilization and going into all of the tombs in Egypt to find out what did they believe. Well, they were all Satan worshipers, and they were all against God, and they all lost their countries because of their sins and sacrificing children. Or one that uses divination. Now, what is divination? That is seeking after familiar spirit. Don't we have a program right on television today? Searching for ghosts. Well, they'll find them because they are demons, and Satan will lead them to it.
Ghost Hunters premieres August 21st on A&E.
Or an observer of times, and the times, and you get our book, Cold Holidays or God's Holy Days, and you need to understand that the things that the world accepts as good and right and glittering and fine and good is an observing of times contrary to the will of God. Or a fortune teller, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or one who seeks oracles from the dead, a seance. Now, notice what he says. For all that do these things are an abomination to the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord your God drives them out from before you. Think about that. Look at what happened. Whenever there's war, don't care what war you go to, people are what? Driven out of their home. And because the war is a judgment of God against them for their sins and what they have done. It doesn't come if they love God and keep His commandments. Blessings come. You want the blessings of God? Well, then stop living your life against God and against His commandments. God wants you to love Him with all your heart and mind and soul and being. Not devoted to your own way, your own thoughts, which Satan is going to come there and take all of that over. Let's come to Deuteronomy 22 and verse 5. Think of this, transgenderism, and look what they're trying to do with that. There's a commandment right here which says, you shall not do that. Why? Because that leads to perverted sex and thoughts and destroys the mind. Verse 5, anything that pertains to a man shall not be worn by a woman. Men say, well, I'm a transgender and I want to compete with women.
Biological male has just become the first transgender person to win a world title in cycling.
First transgender weightlifter winning her maiden international event as a woman.
You're still a man. You're not a woman. You are practicing satanic thoughts. Neither shall a man put on a woman's garment, for all that do so are an abomination to the Lord your God. How do you stand before God? Let's come back here to Leviticus 18. Let's see what God says. Because God is the one, as we have seen, who is judging nations all the time. Leviticus 18, verse 1. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, I am the Lord your God. It's coming directly from God. Now, for us today, as we read it, it's the same as if God were speaking to us personally, face to face. That's why He's got the Bible written down. He says, as they do in the land of Egypt where you dwelt, you shall not do. And there they had every sexual perversion possible, seeking after the dead and the spirits and wizards and everything. Now he says, and you shall not do as they do in the land of Canaan where I'm bringing you, neither shall you walk in their ordinances. Verse 4, you shall do my judgments, keep my ordinances, and walk in them, that means as a way of life. I am the Lord your God. And you shall keep my statutes and my judgments, which if a man does, he shall live in them. In other words, when you obey God, you'll have long life. Look at all of those who are dying, young lives, because they reject any authority. By parents, by teachers, by policemen, let alone to say any authority of God. And they're destroying their lives how? With perverted sex, with drugs, with all kinds of wrong thinking, and everything that is wrong, filling our streets with the homeless. Let's read on. Verse 6. None of you shall approach to any who is near of kin to him to uncover their nakedness. I am the Lord. Now, let's go to verse 21. Here's what God says, and we read in one of the other segments how the experts from the UN want all the churches to accept the homosexual community and all of the perversions that go with it, that they have to give way to do it. No, they don't. But the reason that all of this has come upon us is because we have left God and have not enacted His laws, which if we would have enacted His laws, God would have blessed us. But now we are under the penalty or curse because we've left God. Leviticus 18, verse 21. You shall not let any of your children pass through the fire to Moloch, neither shall you profane the name of the Lord your God. You shall not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is an abomination. The worst possible sin. You can read that in Romans, the first chapter, if you think that this is just Old Testament law. Now, maybe in the book we call the Old Testament, but this is the Word of God, and the Word of God is eternal, and the Word of God is always in motion, just like the law of gravity. And if we don't follow the Word of God, if we don't obey the Word of God, and if we don't love God, what are we doing? Where are we going? What is our life? Huh? Verse 23, you shall not lie with any animal to defile yourself with it, and a woman shall not stand before an animal to lie down to it. It is perversion.
Three men are each facing more than 1,400 counts of animal abuse in Clearfield County. State police say that Terry Wallace, Mark Mesnikoff, and Matthew Brubaker had sex with dogs, horses, a cow, and a goat on a makeshift farm in Munson. Troopers say they also found videos, recording equipment, and cameras.
Verse 24, do not defile yourselves in any of these things, for in all these the nations which I cast out before you are defiled. And what's happening to us? Are we defiled? Yes, we are, in every aspect of life, because we have left God, because we have believed the lies of Satan the devil, and because we trusted in our own selves to save ourselves from our problems without repenting and without going to God and without believing Him. So the United States of America is soon going to be history unless there is mass repentance, which means sorrow, complete, broken of heart, and ridding of stubbornness, and yielding to God in complete total submission and obedience. And that's God the Father and Jesus Christ. And the land is defiled, therefore I visit its wickedness upon it. That's what's happening today. God is visiting our wickedness upon us. And that means that everyone who says he's a minister of Christ needs to repent and lead people to repentance and command them to keep the commandments of God. And it needs to be with every politician, with every teacher, with everyone in any position of authority, with all the law enforcement, with all of the education. They need to just completely scrap all of this stuff that they're trying to indoctrinate the children in to make them sexual perverts at the earliest age possible. And God's punishment is going to come hard and fast and swift and like a sword cutting right through the body. Therefore, I visited its wickedness against it, and the land itself vomits out those who live in it. You shall. What does shall mean? It's imperative that you do it. You shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, and shall not commit any of these abominations, neither the native nor the stranger who is among you. For the men of the land who were before you have done all these abominations, and the land is defiled. Now notice what God says about it, just exactly as Unwin had said. Verse 28, you shall not do these so that the land may not spew you out also when you defile it, as it spewed out the nations that were before you. It's almost like the land just turns up and vomits them out in death and destruction and carnage. Verse 29, and whoever shall commit any of these abominations, even that soul who commits them, shall be cut off from among his people. And you shall keep my ordinance so as not to do any of these abominable customs which were committed before you, and that you do not defile yourselves in them. I am the Lord your God. Now, you probably never hear that read in a Protestant church or a Catholic cathedral, because they are pagan religions using the name of Christ as cover for all of their own abominations and their own traditions. So the world, and in particular America, is standing right at the precipice of total destruction because of sexual immorality and perversion of sex, from the least to the greatest. And so I hope this helps you understand what's going on. And I hope this helps you come to God the way you need to. So you need to get our book. Lord, what should I do? You've got things you need to do to get right with God. That's something you need to choose to do. God isn't going to force you, but he will bring the penalty of your sin upon your own head unless you repent and accept Jesus Christ the way that you should, and be baptized and receive his Holy Spirit and keep the commandments of God for your life. That's the only solution. Now, we're here to help you with everything that we can. That's why you need that book, From a Speck of Dust to a Son of God. Why were you born? So you know God's purpose. It's great and marvelous and fantastic. We're made in the image and likeness of God. And he wants us to be his spiritual sons and daughters, to live in his kingdom, to live with him, to be righteous forever. That's what God wants. Is that what you want? Well, I would hope so. So we're here to help in any way we can. Here's another brand new book that you really need. The Apostle Paul's Teachings on God's Law. You need it because Orthodox Christianity says the law has been done away, or Paul did away with the law, or the church had changed the Sabbath to Sunday. No, this book will show you the truth from the Bible. Are you willing to look at the truth? We will send this book to you at no cost. Just email us, write us, or phone the office. So thank you for inviting me into your home. So until next time, this is Fred Coulter saying, so long, everyone.